terrified. So much danger in this world, I'm scared to let you out alone. Scared to let you spread your baby wings and take to flight. But though my belly made you, I can't hold you, I can't cage you. I can't lay my fears to rest, but I can try to lift you up and let you fly. Tried to teach you to protect yourself from evil things. As you set out on your way, there's so much more I want to say before you flutter to the edge and start to beat your wings. But I know that I can't save you from whatever fate awaits you. Be it bitterness or joy, and I will try lift you up and let you fly.
McQuaid, welcome to my back porch.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's lovely to be on your back porch.
Oh, it is. It is. There'll be some cats coming through. And once in a while, you might even hear my neighbor over there chopping firewood today. He mowed his grass about 20 minutes ago, so I don't think we'll have to worry about that. You're on tour in the United States from England. You're not English by birth.
No, I was born in Spain, which is where my father was from. I grew up in America in Chicago, which is where my mother was from. Mm-hmm. My mother and stepfather then moved to England, which is where my stepfather is from. I then moved to Ireland, which is where my husband is from and where my children were born. And then after living in Ireland for 13 years, moved 6 years ago now to Cornwall, mm-hmm. in the far southwest of England. So there you have it.
It's pretty flat in Cornwall, isn't it?
There's hills.
I'm trying to recall the PBS soap opera that was on about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah, Poldark.
Exactly. My wife and I were big Poldark fans, and that took place in Cornwall.
Yeah, the big one now is there's one on now called Doc Martin that everybody seems to watch. That's set in Cornwall as well. I've never actually seen it because I don't possess a television, but
that's a smart thing.
That's what I gather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got kids, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll never get to see anything anyhow if you have kids and a TV.
Well, that's true.
So you're in the middle of a massive tour. I mean, it started in September in the United States, and it goes until, oh my gosh, November.
Yeah.
And you're here on my porch because you're playing Godfrey Daniels tomorrow night in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, can't wait.
Have you ever been there?
I have, years and years and years ago, back in my other life when I lived in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I played in Godfrey Daniels with a band that I used to play with, but I haven't been there in years. Really looking forward to getting back again.
It hasn't changed.
Has it not?
Not a bit.
Excellent.
Same posters on the wall. Same carpeting on the floor.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, it's very nice. It's very nice. I'm very proud to be friends with Godfrey's because they've done an awful lot of great, brought a lot of great music to our area over the years.
And it's been around so long.
It has been, and it's survived through a bunch of different times of turmoil. And people still come out, and they hear shows, and they go to open mics, and we run an old-time music jam there every month. And it's a great place. We're very fortunate. I'm glad you're going to be there tomorrow night.
So am I.
Would you like to play something for us?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Now, are you in dadgad tuning right now?
I am in dadgad, yeah.
You're an expert on dadgad tuning.
So they tell me.
Well, you wrote a book.
Yeah, I did. I wrote a book years ago now. It's still in print, and it's still being sold both in the USA and in the UK and all around the world, which I'm quite proud of, actually.
Sure.
There's a lot of books you can't say that about, but I still buy copies to sell at my gigs. I don't own the book, so I have to buy copies to sell at my gig, just like any other retailer. But it's great that it's still in print. It's called the Irish Dadgad Guitar Book, and the book focuses more on kind of traditional Irish music, because that's what I was asked for by the publishers. I was living in Ireland at the time, and it was published originally by an Irish publishing house, which is no longer extant, called Ossian Publications. But then it was picked up by Music Sales Incorporated under the aegis of Novello and Company in England, and then Hal Leonard in the USA.
Mm-hmm. And it's easily obtainable here.
Oh, Hal it is Leonard very easily. It. Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play "The Sun Goes on Rising." It's a song I wrote kind of to comfort myself in times of financial crisis. I see a lot of personal financial crises. Being a full-time musician, it's not the easiest way to make a living, but I thought it might be appropriate to play in view of the financial goings on over here. I think a lot of people are having personal financial crises. Hopefully this might give all of us a little bit of comfort. It's called "The Sun Goes on Rising." Hear the wolf at the door. I've seen his face before. He's hungry and I'm tired. Can't keep him out much more. And through a chink in the blind, I watch him pace alive. Better step back from the window. He's only biding his time. Spring follows winter. Sun follows shower. Things will get better if only I can help that wolf at bay. Drive him away. The sun goes on rising every day. I'm keeping face. I'm still in the race. I'm marking down the time till I can get to a better place. Spring follows winter. Sun follows shower. Things will get I can hold that wolf at bay. Drive him away. The sun goes on rising every day. skies. Morning comes and amber turns to gray. Ooh. The sun goes on rising every day. And the time will come when I don't feel this way. Sickles fly in cloudy skies. Morning comes and amber turns to gray. The sun goes on rising every day,
that's a beautiful chord at the end.
Thank you very much.
Sarah McQuaid. Who taught you how to play dadgad guitar?
Well, I was living in France when I was in college. I spent a year in France, mm-hmm. and I experimented with all sorts of open tunings, mm-hmm. and was trying drop D tunings and things like mm-hmm. that. And a band I was playing with at the time was playing at a festival in Brittany, and a French guitarist that I ran into at the festival said, you know, for the style you're playing, you should really try playing in dadgad. And he just showed me a couple of chords, mm-hmm. and I was away. I just thought, this is what I've been looking for all this time. It just suddenly I was able to make all the sounds I'd been trying to make and not succeeding. So I was delighted, and I've been playing in dadgad ever since.
Yeah, my son has never tried that. He's really pretty sharp on the drop D tuning. He's figured some stuff out on his own and then studied with John Doyle.
Oh, and, lovely.
So yeah, he's never attempted dadgad.
Tell him to attempt it.
I have.
The book.
I'm his dad, you know. What do I know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, parents don't know anything.
They
have two children.
Well, I can't say that.
I know
anymore.
Nothing. Yeah. My daughter tells me she's 8, and she tells me she writes better songs than I do.
Well,
maybe for
an 8-year-old, she writes better songs than you do.
I expect she does.
Yeah.
I expect she
will.
For
an 8-year-old audience, I'm sure they would, you know. What's really interesting about this new recording is you've added just interesting dimension to it with the use of brass, very muted brass here and there on recordings, on the recording, especially on Solid Air, the John Martin classic.
Yeah, isn't that
a huge
song.
Fan of John Martin.
And, me too.
I don't know that anybody else ever attempted to cover that song.
I think there was a John Martin tribute album that went out, and I believe somebody did cover Solid Air on it. I didn't listen to it because I didn't want to
because
I didn't want it to affect what I was going to do with
understood.
It. You know, so I haven't actually heard that myself, but I don't think I'm the only one. But I set out to cover it, and I think when you're doing a cover, you always have to try and bring something of your own.
But there's no reason to do the cover otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, what's the point? Otherwise, people might as well just listen to the original.
I agree with you 100%. And if you can't do something better to it or something different to it, don't do it. Don't waste your time.
Exactly. And so I'd had a trumpet player in to play on a couple of other tracks mm-hmm. on the album. The one you played earlier, Lift You Up and Let You Fly, has the same guy playing flugelhorn, on it. And then he also played some trumpet on a song I wrote called In Derby Cathedral. And he said, okay, and he did his tracks for those, and he said, is there anything else you want me to try? And I said, well, we hadn't really figured out anything for the arrangement of Solid Air. Because, you know, I'm playing it in my current concert set. I'll be playing it tomorrow evening mm-hmm. at Godfrey's, and I've been playing it most nights at the tour, but I hadn't really figured out what to do about the arrangement, because I quite liked it as a real spare, kind of stripped back, minimal arrangement. But I thought, I said to Bill Blackmore, the trumpet player, do you want to have a go at playing some trumpet mm-hmm. on this? And what he did was so beautiful that we wound up deciding to have the track just be basically a duet between himself and myself, him playing the trumpet and me playing guitar and singing, and I think it worked really nicely.
It's really reminiscent of what John Martin used to do once in a while. He would pull out a completely unexpected instrument and add it to the track. Mm. Did you ever hear him live?
Yeah, three times.
Oh, good.
Three times.
Only once for me. And I was a huge fan. Still am a huge fan of John Martin.
Oh, yeah, me too. Two of the concerts that I saw were just magnificent. He was on form and he was just performing beautifully and he was wonderful. And then one of them, he was I don't know, a bit messed up and just had seemed to really struggle to get through the night. But the two strong concerts of his that I saw were just amazing, and I feel really lucky to have seen them.
Yeah, for sure. My favorite tune from your new album is the tune about Derby Cathedral. Could you play that for us? Are you able to?
It's a tricky one to do on the radio because I don't have Martin to do my loops. I have when I do that song live because it has that echo bit.
Not a problem.
Martin does that all through his laptop. It's pretty nifty the way he does it. He samples my voice live into his laptop as I'm singing, so it's all done live on the night, and then plays it back. And
Very
then at
cool.
the end of the song when I do the round. He has the again. He sets it up as a continuing loop, so that I'm, or a delay rather. It's a repeated delay is what it is, as opposed to a loop, and he does that so that I can sing the round with myself.
Sure,
but it's pretty hard to do that.
Yes,
when I'm,
standing here on a porch without any extra electronic equipment. Will we do that tomorrow night at Godfrey's?
Oh yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Very good.
Definitely
going to
do it tomorrow night at Godfrey's.
Now I've been really curious about. The first couple of, especially the one recording, my program is essentially an American traditional music program that I have at WDIY. I was just always interested in that, in the one album, which has an awful lot of Appalachian-inspired
stuff.
Yeah,
I Won't Go Home
Was that
morning.
What you started with first when you started playing folk music?
Well, I came to it in kind of a roundabout way. My mother was really into Appalachian folk music. She had loads of albums by people like Gene Ritchie and other kind of more obscure artists that were all on those wonderful big heavy vinyl records, the sort of the thick vinyl records.
Well, Smithsonian
that were
records, yeah, those
Smithsonian
folkways records.
Yeah, we had loads of Smithsonian
folkways. They took up a lot of space and they were very heavy.
Yeah, yeah. But fantastic stuff, mostly like field recordings, you know, of these obscure people in Kentucky and West Virginia and places like that. She worked when she was a teenager at American Friends Service Committee work camps in Eastern Kentucky and West Virginia, and so I think she discovered that music there and then had a lot of records, and I used to listen to a lot of that stuff when I was a little kid on my Mickey Mouse record player, and so it was kind of in there, and she and I used to sing a lot together. We used to take up, you know, pass the time in long car journeys by singing songs in harmony together. And so I sang a lot of that kind of music when I was really little, but then when I was a teenager I got more into the songwriting and, you know, was all into Joni Mitchell and also into the guitar playing. I used to listen to a lot of that Wyndham Hill music and try and do elaborate stuff on the guitar, you know?
Didn't
in
we
open
all?
Tunings, oh yes. But anyway, and then I went to France and wound up quite by accident playing with a traditional Irish band, and so my first solo album was mostly traditional Irish material, When Two Lovers Meet, which came out ages ago. Anyway, that one was mostly traditional Irish material in one of my own songs. But then when I came to make my second album, I Won't Go Home Till Morning, my mother had died a few years previously, and I had just moved into what used to be her house, and I suddenly had all her music around me and her books and her records and, you know, and just the whole kind of atmosphere that she, all her furniture, all her stuff, you know, her jewelry. And so I was thinking a lot about her and about the music that she loved. And so when I made that second album, I kind of looked back to a lot of songs that she had taught me and songs that I had learned from records that she had. And then there are two songs on the album as well that I wrote about her, pretty much, Only an Emotion and Last Song. And then those two albums, When Two Lovers Meet and I Won't Go Home Till Morning, they were released together over here as a double disc package in 2010 when I first toured over here.
Would you play one of your tunes for your mom?
Yeah, sure. I'll play the last song.
Okay.
It's although of course it won't necessarily be the last song, but I wrote this song when I was trying to teach myself how to play guitar again after a long break from music, and I discovered that the best time to practice was when I had just put the kids to bed, and I used to sit in the hallway outside their room and kind of noodle away on the guitar, and gradually silence would descend. But there was one evening that silence seemed to be taking forever to descend, and I could hear the kids chatting away, and I said, "Are you still awake?" And I think it probably happens to all of us at some point in our lives that we open our mouth and out of it comes the voice of our mother or father. And that happened to me that night, and so I had to write a song about it, and here it is. A little girl tucked in my bed at night, I'd have the door cracked open and I'd watch that thread of light. I'd listen to my mother as she played her old guitar. I'd say, "Do Froggy went a-courtin' for the next one." She'd say, "All right, but now this has to be the last song. Are you still awake? Go to sleep, child. The sun is down, you're safe and sound. The Sandman's on his way. Honey, close your eyes. Time to be quiet now. Till you wake up in the morning and start another day." Well, years have passed and now I'm trying to learn some sweet old tune. In the hall got the light on, so it shines into your room. You're talking to your teddy bears and playing with your dolls. You should have been asleep an hour ago, I'm thinking. Is it my mother's voice or mine that I hear asking? Are you still awake? Go to sleep, child. The sun is down, you're safe and sound. The Sandman's on his way. Honey, close your eyes. Time to be quiet now. Till you wake up in the morning. Start another day. She left this world too soon to ever know you. She never got to see your little face. And I wish with all my heart that she'd lived long enough to hold you, long enough to kiss your cheek and stroke your head and say, "Are you still awake? Go to sleep, child. Sun is down, you're safe and sound. The Sandman's on his way. Honey, close your eyes. Time to be quiet now. Till you wake up in the morning another day. Another day. Ooh. Ooh. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did right. Sword and pistol by his side.
That was Last Song from Sarah McQuaid. That's on your album, I Won't Go Home Till Morning. There are some guitar junkies out there who would love to know what you're playing. What is your guitar? Who built your guitar?
It was made for me by a wonderful guy called Andy Manson.
It is so resonant. It's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't it gorgeous? Andy's probably best known for having made that three-necked contraption that Jimmy Page plays in one of the old Led Zeppelin videos. If you see him playing a thing with a six-string neck and a 12-string neck and a mandolin neck, that was made by Andy Manson. And his main client is actually John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. He's made, I think, 16 or 17 different instruments for John Paul Jones, ranging from guitars to mandolins and all sorts. And he's just a wonderful maker, and I'd always craved a guitar by him ever since I think I saw one of his instruments for the first time on my first visit to Ireland when I was 18 years old. I went over and I met a guy called Brendan O'Regan who was playing a bouzouki made by Andy Manson, and I said, gosh, that's the most beautiful instrument I've ever seen. Does the guy who made that bouzouki, does he make guitars as well? And Brendan said, does he make guitars? So I always had this dream of someday having an Andy Manson guitar, and when I moved over to Cornwall in 2007, I knew that Andy Manson lived in Devon, which is only a hop, skip, and a jump up the road from Cornwall, and so I called him up and I said, I'd really like to have a guitar made by you. And at first he just said no flatly, said he wasn't taking on any new clients, and then I said, oh please, 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 and he said, well, look, is there anywhere I can come and hear you play? And I said, yeah, actually, I'm going to be playing up the road from you, and so he came out to see me at a place called the Exeter Phoenix, lovely little art center in Exeter. And he came backstage afterwards and introduced himself and said, yeah, I'd love to make you a guitar. And I said, oh, fantastic. And I said, well, how long will it take? Because he'd mentioned a waiting list. You know, he'd mentioned something like a two-year waiting list. And I said, how long will it take for me to get the guitar? And he said, well, let's see, what are we now, November? I guess I could have it finished by January. So I was just ecstatic, and I went to his workshop the next day, and he showed me various, you know, instruments that he had there, and I said I really wanted a small-bodied guitar, one that would be sort of comfortable for me to play, and I wanted something with a really deep cutaway so that I could go up, you know, up high on the neck.
You have a fretboard extension as well that extends into the sound hole.
Into the sound hole, yeah.
Which is wild.
If anybody wants to see pictures of my guitar, there's lots of pictures on the website. Can I mention the website?
Sure, of course you can.
It's sarahmcquaid.com, sarahmcquaid.com. And if you want to see more of Andy's guitars, you can just go straight to his website as well, which is andymanson.com. Very straightforward, andymanson.com.
This must be a real exciting time for you, being becoming world famous at and you know, I mean, you're traveling everywhere and playing music for folks. It's just a wonderful dream that many of us have had all these years, to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, I do feel lucky to be able to do it. It's hard. It's not easy.
It's not easy. There's nothing easy about it.
But it's lovely just being able to, when I think of all the different people that I've met, mm-hmm. and become really, really good friends with some of the people that I've met along the road, mm-hmm. you know, they're people that I've sort of just met randomly because they were playing support to me or running a gig or just came up for a chat afterwards and have kept in contact over the years and go back and see them. And it's really nice. And it's really nice to be able to come back to some of the same places year after year as well. And go, and it kind of feels like, ah, here I am again. It's kind of like coming home. It's really nice. I spend about 6 months of the year on the road in different countries.
I can recall when I was given your recording to review and sing out, I said, well, who is this person? They said, you'll like her.
You said such nice things about it was the first album, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Lovely things about it.
But
I was quoting them I was flattered
when I went to your website.
You saw your quote front and center.
But I meant it, and I still do. Your music is just so unique, and it will capture people from my era of the 70s singer-songwriter stuff, as well as people who like a little bit of a different sound, because your voicings of chords are so interesting.
Oh, thank you.
I haven't heard you play a straight D chord all afternoon, which is just great. But I mean, you appeal to a lot of different folks and a lot of different levels, I imagine, because of just how wide a range of music you do just standing there on stage and playing a wonderful guitar and playing it so well.
Oh, thank you.
Do you play any instrumentals?
I do sometimes, yeah. I mean, I recorded, it's kind of funny, I recorded quite a few instrumental bits on my first album. My second album, I recorded Shady Grove and Cluck Old Hen as an instrumental, and I've been playing them in my live set, but I've been going ahead and singing some of the words, because, you know, and it's kind of the same thing I do as an instrumental.
That's okay.
But
I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to have you do that. Sarah McQuaid, and she's on our porch this afternoon, and she'll be at Godfrey Daniels tomorrow evening, the 10th of October, with an 8 o'clock show.
Okay, here we go. True love, Shady Grove, my honey, Shady Grove, my true love, pretty Shady Grove. Won't get married in the fall, I'll marry in the spring. Marry the pretty girl down the road who wears a diamond ring. Oh, Shady Grove, my true love, Shady Grove, my honey, Shady Grove, my true love, pretty Shady Grove. Shady Grove, I won't get married at all. Ooh, Shady Grove, my true love, Shady Grove, my honey, Shady Grove, my true love, pretty Shady Grove. Good old hen, she lays eggs for the railroad men. Sometimes one and sometimes two, sometimes enough for the whole darn crew. Cluck old hen, cluck and sing, ain't laid an egg since late last spring. Cluck old hen, cluck and squall, ain't laid an egg since late last fall. Good old hen, she lays eggs for the railroad men. Sometimes eight and sometimes ten, that's enough for the railroad men. Cluck old hen, cluck and sing, ain't laid an egg since late last spring. Cluck old hen, cluck and squall, ain't laid an egg since late last fall. Thank you. I think I alarmed your cat
yes,
with that last chord.
I think Christopher liked the harmonic.
The cat was busy having a wash, giving a thorough
yeah,
wash.
Yeah, he has no pride. He'll just sit there and wash right in front of you.
Yeah.
Sarah McQuaid, thank you for coming on my porch this afternoon. It's a beautiful kind of gray autumn day out there today.
Isn't it just?
One of these days you just like to go out for a long walk. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Really appreciate
it. It was lovely to be able to stop by here. Thank you so much.
Sarah's going to be at Godfrey Daniels tomorrow night, October the 10th, an 8 o'clock show. See some great playing. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Safe travels.
Thank you, Tom.
I want to thank Sarah for coming out this afternoon and being recorded on my back porch. Sarah McQuaid, as we said, she'll be at Godfrey's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So be there or be square. Sarah McQuaid, good stuff.